B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Tuffho.net, Chuck.
Yeah, Tuffho.net, it man. It's going down,
we have
man.
Philosophy.
It is going worldwide, wide.
Tuffho.net.
Tuffho.net.
Investors?
Tuffho.net. Possibly you.
Could possibly be you. Jimmy Kemsky. Maybe he wants to invest.
Jimmy Kemsky, I wouldn't be surprised if he was wearing a Tuffho.net t-shirt right now. But I will just say this, and no disrespect to Chuck or North Carolina, but something tells me that North Carolina, Tuffho.net t-shirts would be flying off the internet. They'd be flying off the shelves.
You think?
Man. Tuffho.net, man. It's going down. Wide.
God bless you.
610-632-0975. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia. Broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. The 9 o'clock hour is brought to you by The Bagster. Dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to TheBagster.com. From PhillyVoice.com, on the line with us, Jimmy Kemsky. Good morning, Jimmy.
Morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing all right. How's Jacksonville treating you?
I don't know. I got in after midnight, and I just got up a little bit ago.
Oh, this is what I'll do if I ever have to do the call-in. It's like 8:58. I'll set the alarm, and I'm like, hey, I could just practice saying hello a couple of times. I'll be good to go.
That's right.
Perfect. Now, I got to address this right out of the gate with you, because we haven't talked to you since the piping hot tweet that you sent out there 2 weeks ago regarding one Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders is the best running back on the roster, and it's not even close. Explain further. Has it been proven further for you? Go ahead. What do you think on Miles Sanders?
Yeah, I don't think that's any different now than it was then. He's clearly, in my opinion, after having watched him all throughout training camp, the best running back on the roster. And I don't, again, like I said in the tweet, I really don't think it's close. Now, last week in the first preseason game, he got 3 carries for 3 yards. And I think some people were a little disappointed by, it's not just me hyping him up, by the way. Mm-hmm. Pretty much anyone who's watched him throughout training camp knows that he looks like he's going to make some plays this year.
Sure.
So people were disappointed when they saw, you know, the 3 carries, 3 yards. But I think you're looking at it the wrong way if you're disappointed by that. They didn't use him much, which pretty much tells you that the team thinks highly of him, because they're using him and very sparingly, the same way that they're using the other starters on the team, or, you know, a lot of the starters aren't playing at all. But I don't think you're going to see much of him throughout the rest of the preseason, because I think the Eagles staff sees it as well. And it's only a matter of time. It's a matter of, you know, when, not if, he becomes their starter this year.
Now, Jordan Howard obviously is the guy that they acquire in the offseason. What's his status? Is he going to be the number two guy, you think? You think he starts out at number one? How do you think that works out?
Well, I think they're going to have, you know, the committee approach that they've had over the last, you know, half decade or however long it's been since LeSean McCoy's been gone. It worked very well during their Super Bowl season. Last year, they had maybe the worst running back room in the NFL. Not so much last year. But this year, I think they're going to be a lot better there with Howard and Sanders. And they bring Sproles back. And then, of course, Corey Clement. May be better than this year than he was last year coming back from his injury. But as far as Jordan Howard's role goes, I kind of envision I can see him being a player that they use heavily in the second half of games if they get a lead and they kind of pound him, you know, inside and the same way that they kind of did with, you know, LeGarrette Blount a couple years ago. So he's kind of the power back for me, and I think they'll use him a lot in the red zone down deep in near the goal line. But I think for the most part, you're going to see at some point during the season, Sanders takes over the majority of the carries. And they'll mix Clement in, they'll mix Sproles in. But it is going to be a way, way better running back room than it was last year.
Jimmy, are we going to see anybody? I know Malik Jackson's playing because he said he wanted to get in there a little bit against his old team. But any other significant players that didn't play last week that you expect to be out there tonight?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think if you know, watching second and third stringers and guys that are going to be on the practice squad, this is the game for you.
Okay.
I don't think they're going to put many of their, you know, notable players at risk in these preseason games. You know, you look at what the Rams did last year where they didn't play Jared Goff a single snap throughout the whole preseason. I think they're going to do the same thing this year with Carson Wentz. So, you know, it didn't affect the Rams really in any way last year. They won their first I want to say like 8 games or something like that, and they scored at least 33, I think it was, in each of their first 6 games. So I think the Eagles and maybe some other teams around the league looked at that and they went, yeah, you know what? The risk of getting one of our guys hurt just isn't worth these preseason reps. When they can kind of tune it up a little bit, especially with the Eagles' case this year, where they're going to have joint practices with the Baltimore Ravens. So those will be more game-like, quote-unquote game-like type settings, you know, similar to these preseason games. I don't think you're going to see them put many guys at risk.
So, Jimmy, that begs the question then, I guess, all those fans you saw from Philadelphia down in Jacksonville, how are they going to feel?
It's crazy. There was a lot of them on the flight on the way down, which if it were me, like, if it were up to me, I wouldn't be here. I'd be happy to just watch this game on TV. But it's crazy to me how many people travel for these games. I haven't really seen that much for preseason games, but there are a lot of Eagles fans on the flight coming on the way down here, which to me is, I mean, God bless them. They're paying my salary.
Right.
But man, it's. I don't think there are fans, you know, that are quite like this.
No, that we are. I mean, look, in all honesty, this is the greatest fan base you could ever. If you want to write for this fan base, you want to do a radio for this fan base, podcast, whatever it might be. This is the greatest fan base to ever do that stuff for because they never stop caring. Apathy is not a thing. Preseason or not, they're traveling to Jacksonville where Trey Thomas has testified himself. There's like maybe 5 good restaurants, yeah. And they're going down there to have themselves a ball.
It's a beautiful restaurant.
There were 2 older women. And I'd say probably around 70 in like in the hotel bar last night.
Oh, Jimmy.
And they were wearing matching Nick Foles t-shirts, and they were just hammering beers at the bar.
Yeah.
Let's make some noise. Come on.
So when you approach them, how was the conversation?
No, they were awesome. Yeah. They were fun.
Oh, Jimmy, you're the best, man. So, look, you mentioned the way the running back room is going to shake out. What's the next thing you're looking at as far as position battle, as far as the next guy to step up? What are you looking at tonight?
For the running back position?
No. You mentioned that. You worked us through that. You walked us through all that stuff.
Yeah, okay.
But when it comes to another position group or maybe one specific player, what are you really going to be looking at tonight?
Yeah, as far as camp battles go, it's been a pretty boring camp in terms of, you know, because I think, you know, pretty much the starters are set. The one area that I think is worth watching is the young offensive linemen. That's Andre Dillard, Jordan Mailata, and Matt Pryor. You know, I thought Dillard was good week one. I thought Mailata was, you know, showed some good and some bad, and Pryor was not good. So I think those guys still have a lot to prove this preseason. They're all going to get a lot of playing time if they're not starters. And then Big V at right guard, he may have to play there. Brandon Brooks isn't ready to start the season. So those guys are sort of the future of the offensive line. But ideally you won't need any of them this year. At some point, I think you're going to see Dillard. But the way that those guys kind of progress is for me, sort of the lame but biggest storyline of this preseason.
All right, so now we just got another spicy meatball, though. If Nate Sudfeld Nate Sudfeld goes down, so people are thinking about backup quarterbacks now. Is there anybody not here that you would like to get a look at?
Is anybody not in Jacksonville?
Is anybody not with the Eagles right now? You maybe give a workout to, or maybe just bring in out of nowhere that maybe fans know the name of. Maybe they're not that familiar with. Is there anybody out there that you'd go get at this point with Nate Sudfeld's injury?
Quarterback wise. Yeah, okay, so here's how I'll explain that. I don't think they're bringing anyone in, and the reason is this. That there's what's called a vested veteran, and to be a vested veteran, you have to have 4 accrued seasons in the NFL. So if you're looking at other quarterbacks around the league, almost all of them are going to have that, and almost anyone worth bringing in is going to have that. So, for example, Sam Bradford obviously has that. Colin Kaepernick has that. Matt Castle has that. And all, right on that line, anyone you can think of, they're all going to have more than 4 seasons in the league. And what that means is that if you bring them in and then they're on your roster week one, you bought them now for the season. So their salary is now fully guaranteed. And you can't get rid of them. You can get rid of them, but you're going to have a cap hit if you do. Cody Kessler, on the other hand, has only 3 accrued seasons in the NFL. So once they get by those first few weeks, they can cut him at any time without penalty. So I think they're just going to keep him on the roster for the 2 or 3 weeks that Nate Sudfeld's out, and then if they want to get rid of him thereafter, they can. I don't think they're going to bring anyone else in and kind of sort of guarantee that roster spot for the season.
Gotcha. Jimmy Kemski, a Philly voice. So when you're looking tonight...
My apologies for boring the tears out of your...
No. That's good information because... No, Jimmy, that's great because a lot of people are going to be talking about the names like Sam Bradford and Colin Kaepernick and all that other stuff. So to bring that in the conversation is very, you know, needed. Let's put it that way. Yeah, it's not blowing my non-existent hair back, but it's needed. Now, cornerback situation. The cornerback room has been an interesting battle as well. The injuries, players stepping up, Avante Maddox becoming more and more popular, it seems like, the more he plays. When it comes to that cornerback room, has Jalen Mills already lost his job with this injury?
He's in danger, for sure. You know, those three young guys, we're talking about Sidney Jones, Rasul Douglas, and you mentioned Avante Maddox, all three of them have really good camps, and all three of them in the first preseason game, they didn't play much, but they looked okay when they did play it. I think they'll get a little bit of playing time in this game as well, but those guys... were kind of a big question mark heading into this camp. And I think they kind of put some of those concerns to bed because they've all been really, really good throughout camp. In fact, I think the defense has kind of won this camp, and those guys are part of the reason for that. And, you know, you really need to see those guys step up because Jalen Mills, as you mentioned, is on PUP. He's not going to be back for a while. I think he's going to start the season on PUP, which would mean that he won't be eligible to return until after week six. And then Ronald Darby's obviously still working his way back from his ACL. So, you know, they have concerns with their, I guess you could call them older guys. they're still, right. You know, Mills and Darby are still very young themselves. But those really young corners, I think, have really stood out this camp. And, you know, they have a little bit of depth there. Cravon LeBlanc will be back at some point. And then they signed Orlando Scandrick. He looks like a, you know, perfectly fine backup cornerback for this team to start the season. So I think they're in okay shape there, but yeah, I agree. Those three cornerbacks, those three young guys, you know, they're going to be a big key to the season.
Jimmy, with the injuries that they have at the linebacker position and you know, nothing's really fortified there, have you seen anybody during camp or do you need somebody in these next couple of games to really step up to be able to slip in there and provide some help with all the injuries that they've occurred?
Yeah, well, Camu was killing it before he got hurt.
Right.
I mean, he was yeah, but at the top of my list of guys who, you know, sort of were exceeding expectations or having a really good camp, and then he got hurt. And he'll be out for a little while in the beginning of the season. You still have Nigel Bradham, who's out with a toe injury that he suffered during the Eagles' loss to the Saints in the playoffs. Totally unclear when he's going to be back. And then beyond them, they have some guys they signed this offseason, like Zach Brown and LJ Fort, and they have Nate Gary coming back. Gary had a brutal game last preseason game, so he's got to come back out and be better in this one. But Zach Brown is a guy that during training camp, you know, really didn't do anything. Like he didn't do anything. He seemed maybe a little disinterested. And he's a guy who's been in the league a while, and he's got over, you know, well over 300 tackles for the last three seasons. And then he comes out in the first preseason game, and he looks like he does during the regular season. So I think that's a guy who should be fine filling in for Camu and or Nigel Bradham if either of those two guys aren't ready to go week one, and he'll, of course, be going up against his former team in Washington week one, so he should be, you know, properly motivated for that. But if both Bradham and Camu are both out week one, then they're going to need another guy to step up, whether that's LJ Fort or Nate Gary, and hopefully the Eagles will be able to see one of those guys sort of make some plays during the rest of this preseason.
Easy enough. Jimmy Kemski, read his stuff at phillyvoice.com. Jimmy, hey, enjoy Jacksonville. Enjoy the ball game. And you know what? Enjoy those two old ladies that you were crushing beers with last night.
I hope we cross paths again.
Thanks, brother.
Just roll over and say hi.
Oh, come on.
Oh, no.
Come on.
Cold-blooded,
Bob Cooney. That's Bob Cooney. He's ruthless. All right, Jimmy. Thanks, buddy.
Toughho.net, Jim.
See you guys.
See you, buddy. Jimmy's nice enough to get up from the night and running about town in Jacksonville, and you hit him with the rollover.
It's all right. What's wrong with that?
Does this guy know how to party or what?
Sounds like it.
Jerome in Philly's back with us. Jerome, man, we got a better connection now?
Oh, man, I hope so, man. Please tell me you can hear me.
I got you. Loud and clear. What do you got on tonight's game?
I really don't know. What you mean, what I got?
Well, you wanted to talk Eagles, I assume.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to make a little statement as far as the personality, man. I don't like how everybody's so scared about, you know, people getting hurt and things, man. Just make, like, that ain't our personality as far as being a Philadelphia fan. You know, we hardcore, man. We the bullies, man. We blew everything. This feeling ain't good, man. I understand, you know, everybody worried about, you know, people get hurt, but yeah, I think in a regular season it's gonna be 50-50 about Carson Wentz.
I think it's going to be all about Carson Wentz. Thanks for the call, brother. Appreciate you chiming back.
Yeah. I mean, this is the new era. This is the new norm. You got to get used to it. I mean, right now, everybody is about protecting these players. And like I said earlier, I think they're looking at it like, you know what? I'd rather see them go down in a game than to see them go down in preseason.
Would it be different if your offensive line was healthy?
If
Brandon Brooks is playing right guard for you right now, right? If he's playing right guard for you, Lane Johnson's playing right tackle, and Jason Kelsey's out there playing as well. If everybody's healthy, are you putting Carson out there?
Yeah, if you have everybody, I think so. Well, look at what all you have coming. You have Jason Peters coming back off of injury. Mm-hmm. Kelsey, entire left or right side was destroyed last year. Brandon Brooks, Achilles. And then Lane Johnson, he had meniscus issues, knee issues, or whatever it was last year as well. So there are a lot of question marks on that group. And of course, you're looking at it like, you know what, I need to have these guys come in. I'd rather them come in healthy and maybe not as sharp or, you know, whatever it is, but I need them healthy. Hmm. Health over everything is what's ruling the day.
Would
right
you
now.
Still play them, though? If the offensive line is all healthy, right, and Carson's healthy and no injury coming up, whatever. My question is more so, when you come into the preseason nowadays, is it all about just, yep, no injuries? Therefore, none of my starters are going to be out there any significant amount of time. So if he's not coming off an injury, if the offensive line isn't coming off an injury, and everyone's healthy, are you still holding him back? Or are you saying, no, go out there and get your reps?
Yeah, I think you would still. I think you would let them get a couple reps.
All right.
If everybody was healthy, if everybody wasn't coming back off of injury, I think you would let them. You would have to.
So now this is just the way the game's played. It's not just a matter of, oh, no, this guy's coming off an injury. I don't want to risk anything further. This is the way it's done now. Get used to it, everybody.
You may as well. And now they're going to, I'm pretty sure that these two, it's going to be cut down to only two preseason games anyway. So this is it.
Well, the coaches are basically surrendering.
Yeah.
This is basically saying, yeah, we don't need those other two games.
Yeah.
And if you're not playing the starters. Now, look. No, I don't want to see anyone get hurt.
No.
But if I'm watching a football game, I still want to see my quarterback.
The fear of injury is ruining preseason. And look, do you expect a lot out of preseason? No. But the little excitement you could glean out of it has been taken away due to the fear of injury here in Philadelphia and other places. I just saw, you know, during the break, Aaron Rodgers is playing almost a full quarter tonight. You know, other teams are still of the school of thought they got to get some work in, but the fear of injury rules here in Philadelphia, and maybe it's because of Carson Wentz's pass, or as Trey correctly pointed out, because the offensive line is coming back off of what they were last year, or you don't trust who you're throwing out there to protect Carson Wentz. But it is. The theme of this preseason for the Eagles, of this training camp, is the fear of injury.
I watch it, and I get the same vibe you just displayed there, Bobby. You just explained it perfectly there. But I almost have this feeling of not, oh, damn it, come on, let me see these guys play. I more so have the feeling of what took so long.
Mm. Now, that's funny, because when you were out, one of my themes was, and it was a true feeling, I woke up and was like, damn it, I hate this. I hate that we're going. And Jimmy came in today. God, can we just get to the regular season?
Of course.
And obvious. But to me, it just sucks that I'm not going to see any starters in preseason at all this Philadelphia team. I understand you want to go in healthy, but you can't help how you feel. And my true feeling was, this sucks.
Mm-hmm.
I understand it, but I don't like it.
Yeah, you want to watch your guys play. You want to watch your number one guys
like
play and compete.
I don't like the fear of injury overriding everything, because it just leads to something bad.
Right, but in football, between the owners, the coaches, and the players themselves, nobody wants to play in the preseason.
No, I hear you.
And nobody wants to get hurt, because guess what? If you're getting hurt in the preseason, you're going to get hurt in a preseason, meaningless preseason game, and then mess with your money down the line?
Yeah.
I hear you.
I look at it and I can't help but to have the feeling, what took so long? Like, I go, damn, I don't get to see Carson Wentz.
You're smarter than me. I'm still the little kid that looks forward to that preseason game number three. Oh, they're going to go three quarters.
That's the biggest lie ever told on the airwaves ever. Not for nothing, Bob. Not for nothing.
It's just been taken away.
I guess. Yeah. Look, if you're asking me what I want to see, I want to turn on the TV tonight, 7 o'clock, and I want to watch the game, and I want to watch Carson Wentz play. But I understand, I get it, that he's not.
Yeah, I understand I just don't like it.
Yeah, I'm not grabbing, you know, I'm not protesting saying that, oh, how dare the Eagles not play their quarterback. No, because that's the way it seems like the league is going. And as Trey has acknowledged, these coaches are acknowledging, you don't need more preseason. You don't even need the amount of preseason that you have right now. You need less preseason.
Well, the one thing that Trey said earlier that I wanted to comment on but I didn't get a chance was that you'll almost risk going into games in the early season a little rusty as opposed to unhealthy because health rules the day. What hit me right away was, man, when you're playing rusty, that leads to injury, too. You know, as we all know, people are landing different ways. Yeah, something you're not expecting happens because if you were playing rusty, I'm going to make this run, and I know where he's going to go out of bounds. I know where to hit that block. But now people are rusty, and they're going a little slower. And, so, you know, there's a foot there where normally there wouldn't be a foot. Now all of a sudden you're stepping, and an ankle's turning. You know, all of that stuff. It just – I don't live in fear of injury. But it drives me nuts when people do, and it seems like this whole NFL now is going that way.
Exactly.
Well, I think it's kind of because you haven't put yourself in those strenuous situations yet. If practice is always controlled, and you haven't had too many live periods, you haven't had those drills where you haven't. I think that's when you start seeing more soft tissue issues, pulled groins for offensive linemen, because you haven't had to come out of that set and be able to run a guy by, and that's when you pull your groin or something like that. So, you know, you haven't put yourself in those hard situations yet. And I know you can make practice as difficult as you want, but it's still totally different when the quarterback has on the same color jersey as everyone else on your team. You know what I'm saying? Because once they put on that red jersey, hey.
Yeah.
Don't even get close to him.
Yeah.
Don't even get close to him. Do not try to bat down one of his passes.
Well, you had a great line the other day when you said the one thing that you wanted to see more from Mylott, and I think you hit on it also today, Trey, was you want to see him finish better.
Mm-hmm.
And that popped into my head also. Well, you don't have to finish when you're practicing.
Oh, yeah.
Because you get to a certain spot. Well, you know he's not going any further because you're not allowed to get close to the quarterback.
Mm-hmm. And see, that's where he's used to doing.
Exactly.
Because of how practice has been. I get to my certain point. I punch. The guy runs by the quarterback and my job is done. Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, I'm done. He's only been in the game 2 years. So that's all he thinks. He's like, oh, okay. That's what I'm used to.
Right.
Oh, no. Oh, he's still going. Oh, he can hit the... Oh, damn, Sudfeld just broke his wrist.
There it is in a nutshell.
We just explained injuries. I think we've actually solved the problem while we've been here. Chris in Delaware, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? How you doing this morning?
Good.
Good, good, good. My question is, I hear all this stuff about injuries and in the preseason not playing this and that. So I'm going to take it a little bit further with this one. So what happens, we don't play Wentz, you know, season starts, and you know, Wentz is injury, you know, we can all say he's, you know, had some injuries, hasn't finished the full season yet and everything. What happens if we go into the season and gets hurt again? And I'm not even talking about backups. I'm just talking about future Carson Wentz right now.
Well, then I think the
panic
Eagles,
in the streets.
Yeah. I mean, how soon can we undo the deal where we didn't get, you know, Nick Foles to stay here for 5 years? Like honestly, that's what's going
to
happen.
We go jump into DeLorean and go back in time and we try to unset.
Chris, in all honesty, it might be the first time ever that we look at the Eagles and we go, oh, okay, when do the Sixers start? Like, it might be the first. Seriously, think about the explosion that would happen. Wentz gets hurt. The whole, it becomes 2005 all over again.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we're not coming off a Super Bowl this year, but 2005 all over again where everybody gets injured. You're down to, you know, Mike McMahon and Coy Detmer being your starting quarterbacks. And, like, everything starts hitting the wall. It would be mass hysteria. That's what would happen if Carson went down again and the season goes down the tubes early, goes down the drain early. We're going to be going, all right, how's Ben's jumper? How's Ben Simmons' jumper looking?
Yeah. And I'm all in with the Eagles this year. Like, I'm ride or die with Carson Wentz. Let's go to the Super Bowl. Let's do all this. And who cares about a backup at this point because we're all in with Wentz. And that's what I'm thinking. Like, what if he does get injured again? And it just, you know, and every season, it seems like he's getting injured. Do we move on from there? Do we draft another quarterback next year? Is that like, you know, throwing the tail, like, you know.
The man just got 107 mil guaranteed. You're not moving on from Wentz.
Yeah. This is your bet.
Yeah, this is it.
Whether anything happens on the bed and whatever, it's Chris, thanks for the call, man. No matter what happens,
yeah, this is it.
This is the bed you're laying.
Like, if he gets injured, that's the equivalent of, like, peeing the bed. You'd then have to sleep in said pee bed because those sheets aren't going anywhere.
You know, no. I feel like peeing the bed doesn't even do it for you. I feel like
deucing.
You deuce the bed, basically.
And those sheets have to stay there because he's not going anywhere.
No.
When's the last time you had a pee dream?
Oh, I used to get them pretty bad. The ones where you're standing at the urinal and you start peeing in your dream. And yeah. Then, yeah. Probably like 4 or 5 years ago.
Trey, knowing you, I thought you were talking about something totally different.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
No, I have vivid ones. Where, like, you know, I go.
It feels awesome. It's like, oh my God, yeah. this is the best pee ever. Oh my God.
Yes. All right, this is weird. That's why I can't pee in the ocean, because it makes me think I'm having that dream.
Yeah. Wait, what?
I don't know. It's honest to God. If I can't pee in the ocean.
Huh. That's pretty weird, Bobby.
Because it gives me that feeling that I'm having an accident in my sleep.
You know, I can't pee in the ocean either because I'm a decent human being.
Don't lie to the people, Mark.
Yeah.
Everybody pees in the ocean.
Father. Why do you pee in the ocean? What's wrong with peeing
in the ocean? I can't pee in the ocean.
Because that's what the bay is for.
I'm kidding.
That's what my neighbor's pool's for.
That's what Jaguar Stadium's for.
Yeah, there we go.
The two pools there. Enjoy yourself there. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we've been playing it all morning. We'll play it again. Charlie Manuel, the savior of the season, ladies and gentlemen, had his name chanted last night at CBP.
But we've
been playing it all morning. Charlie's philosophy on how to get out the torch and weld together.
Uh-huh.
Go weld together the amazing thought and the thought process of analytics and Charlie's old school, good school mentality. How you put those two together to get 11 runs in a ball game? Talk about that in a second here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
I got to tell you, aside from Charlie Manuel being at CBP last night, a couple of my favorite things. Jeez. Ben Davis dressed as a Village People.
Oh, I didn't. What?
Yep, you're welcome.
What did he do?
I tweeted a photo.
Which one was he dressed as?
Because they have in the in-stadium.
Was he the Indian?
Was he Tonto?
Oh, no, he was the cop.
Oh, he was a cop.
That's a little more fitting.
Tom McCarthy.
He looks like he'd be a cop.
Tom McCarthy was the construction worker.
Okay.
John Kroc was the Indian. Excuse me, Native American. John Kroc is a Native American.
Did they hang out at the Blue Oyster? My bad.
You're bad, please.
Yeah.
Like you just
like
said.
You're sorry.
Yeah, like you regret that.
Uh-huh. Embrace it.
Did I mention I missed you guys? I got nothing. I don't know where to go.
I just saw the picture. I missed that last night.
Okay. So they had the in-stadium seats where they do the broadcast from somewhere inside the stadium. And it was pretty cool. I thought they did a great job. Mark Zumoff made a nice little appearance. Mark Zumoff went down there, and he was talking to the guys on the crew.
Chris Wheeler.
Before we get there.
I want to officially welcome him in.
Right, but I want to say something about Mark Zumoff.
Yeah, go ahead.
That Mark would not want me to say.
Oh, by the way, did you see Dick Allen tweet at Mark Zumoff?
I was going to bring that up. That was awesome.
That's so. I hope that's not what you're about to get to.
No.
You're just trying to spoil everything Mark's about to say.
Yeah, by all means. Hey, I'm going to have a second kid eventually. Hey, Jamie, what am I going to have?
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, that was very cool. I didn't even know Dick Allen was on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. He blows people up. Dick Allen blows up people's timelines all the time.
That's pretty cool.
But here's the thing. So Mark Zumoff, he wouldn't. Now, look, Mark doesn't want me to say this, and I have no way, shape, or form run this by Mark Zumoff. But isn't it a little unfortunate that Mark Zumoff just had the best seat in the house for a baseball game and isn't allowed to do his job courtside for a basketball game?
Like, he was closer to the action doing a baseball game. And then you know what they did to those poor announcers? Him and Ala Abdelnaby. They put them up in the rafters to call a game.
I'd have to go through just about every arena, but I think it may be the one of only two or maybe three arenas where they're not courtside.
Ridiculous.
And that's the home games.
Yeah. But you know what? It was noticed something when Mark Zumoff was there. I think there was a big play that hit happened. And Mark was like, hold on. Do I need to talk right now? Do you guys need to make the call?
He's all about the professionalism.
Very professionalism.
Temple. He probably doesn't like Jimmy Rollins either.
Oh, probably hates
Jimmy Rollins. He probably loves him just as much as I do.
But he hates Jimmy Rollins.
A classically trained broadcaster at Temple University, so he knows what's what.
So he's a snob.
That's why he calls. He's like, do you guys need to make the call here? I'm sorry.
There you go. See?
Yeah.
It's called stepping aside every once in a while. It's called stepping aside. Now, as promised, when Charlie Manuel sat in here with us 2 weeks ago, what did he say that you love so much, Trey?
First of all, you can never count them out.
Never count this team
never
out.
Never count a team out.
Two games out of the wild card spot to put up 11
spots. The other one he said was, I never told my team to chase a wild card.
Damn right.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that seems to be the only option right now, but not the point.
Let's not worry about the facts.
Not the point.
Yeah.
But Charlie talked about the fusion between analytics and the old school baseball thought when it comes to hitting. Here's Charlie Manuel trying to explain to us what he likes about analytics. Here it is.
If we sit down and we went over and we cover everything, you'd be surprised at how much of it I like. But at the same time, there's just so many things that comes into play. Like, I believe in putting the ball in play, of course. I don't believe in a lot of strikeouts. I mean, it's not like I'm criticizing nobody or nothing like that, because if your philosophy works and you win, you're good. But at the same time, the eye test is still good, but also, too, getting to know the person and having a feel for him and everything. Those things that work for me don't necessarily work for the other guy, but at the same time, too, like, it's still the game of baseball, and you try to play it right.
How do you not love that?
Yeah.
How do you not get behind that? He's like, look, analytics, it's information for you.
Yeah.
There's
a
lot of stuff there that I like. You'd be surprised about the amount of stuff that I like.
We're all saying the same thing.
Exactly.
Soufflé and sheared eggs are still scrambled eggs.
I'd rather have the souffléed ones.
Yeah, but they're still scrambled.
Because it's fancier.
Exactly. What are you going to have today? The soufflé. Oh, we have some steak in. Nope. Eggs.
Yeah. Scrambled.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking for.
There you go.
Charlie just sums it up perfectly. He doesn't get enough credit for how well he can explain things. The way he explained it, that was perfect. He also got specific. He's like, hey, these analytics people, they're all about the strikeouts. They're all about the high pitch counts. The hell with that. Go hit something.
Yeah.
Like, I had this thought of how it played out in the clubhouse, where Charlie was standing there next to Gabe, and Gabe was probably just something along the lines of, all right, everyone, we're going to have a new approach. As you know, John Mealy's, we've moved on from John Mealy, right? You're going to have a new approach at the plate. We're going to get after. We're going to want good launch angles. We want to make sure you guys are having some good swings up there, and make sure you listen to your new hitting coach, Charlie Manuel. Charlie, what's your philosophy? Say it and hit it.
Yeah.
Bye. Deuces.
Yeah.
The end.
You all became Major League Baseball players. Go hit the baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the feeling that I get, and tell me if you guys agree, that with Gabe and with Mealy, you were kind of having all right, here's the approach we want you all to take. Mm-hmm. With Charlie, it's, you do this, so I think you should do that. You do this, so I think you should do that. It seems more individualized with Charlie, his teaching, as opposed to having just a full, here's the analytics, launch at this is what we want you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Theirs is a philosophy. His is an individual breakdown, it seems to me.
See, I think the guys that are more the middle of the road guys are the ones that are going to be talking to the hitting coach. The Bryce Harpers, the Reese Hoskins of the world, the J.C. Realmuto, I don't think they're having many consultations, right, with Charlie Manuel. But when something's not going right in their swing, that's where they'll go to the hitting coach and be like, hey, what are you seeing? What am I doing? Or the hitting coach might say, hey, look, I was watching some tape on you. This is what you're doing. You might not be feeling it, but just so you know. It's not like they're going to wave a magic wand here.
No.
Unless Charlie Manuel, when you show up and all of a sudden 11 runs happen. Bada-boop, bada-beep. James in Salem County, you stay right there. We'll get to you in a few. Coming up, we'll get a little bit more into what we're going to be looking for tonight. Talking about preseason game number 2. Eagles away in Jacksonville, taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Nick Foles, not a part of the contest tonight. Sorry, folks. Although there are
you sling it.
There are a lot of people. There are a lot of Eagles fans. God bless them down in Jacksonville to take in the game. We got sidetracked. I apologize. But yes, Chris Wheeler.
Welcome to the ball community, brother.
It was great to see Chris Wheeler.
Yeah, it's freeing. Good for him. dropping the toupee, going bald. I love Wheels, man. I miss Wheels.
Yeah, see, I got on the Wheels train late.
As the official bald-headed show of the radio community of Philadelphia. Welcome in, brother.
Yeah, welcome in. I was like, wait, is this the first time
we've seen bald Wheels? Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
It was.
Yes, it was. Everyone, no question.
Everyone took to Twitter.
Welcome in, Wheels.
I think everybody was like, good for you, Wheels.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You're bald and you're beautiful, Chris Wheeler.
Didn't you want to just kiss that head?
Yes, you're damn right.
Good on you, mate, as Ben Simmons would say.
See, you're not officially a bald man in Philadelphia unless the Philly Fanatic has come over and polished your head. I was just waiting for that moment to happen last night.
He tickled mine last year.
That would have been funny. Mm-hmm.
When I buzzed the head about 6 years ago, Philly Fanatic buzzed, did the little polish. And I was like, now I'm a true member of the Philadelphia bald community. Good chapter to be in. Time of the Fanatic, 9:41.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So, bald Wheels, 11 runs, Charlie comes back, Ben Davis dressed as a member of the Village People.
And they hang out at the Blue Oyster. Just go party at the Blue Oyster for a little bit.
It was a good night.
Yeah.
It was a good night.
Good time.
You know what else is a good time? The Fanatic Deal of the Week, ladies and gentlemen. Because for a limited time, get a dinner for two to Shima. Brazilian Steakhouse. Have you indulged?
I have not.
It is wonderful.
Okay.
I am a big fan. Only $57 is the Fanatic Deal of the Week. Enjoy the fresh gourmet salad bar for two.
It's all about that salad bar. The Brazilian Steakhouse do the salad bar right.
They do. I like a nice little warm-up lap before I jump into
you got to expand the stomach.
What I like to get for the meat sweats.
Well, you had to coat yourself with some roughage.
Yeah, exactly. Come on now. We're all health nuts. Then you get the two Rodizio dinners. Don't forget that, which includes Garto service, which are just phenomenal, Enjoy that service there. Also, it's available now through Sunday or while supplies last. Check it out now at 975thefanatic.com. Keyword, deal. And also, don't forget this, ladies and gentlemen. FanFest ticket raid tonight. Stop by Club Risque at Tacoma. On Tacony Street in Northeast Philadelphia tonight from 9 to 10 p.m. for Fan Fest ticket raid. Don't miss it. James in Salem County, thanks for holding. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Great.
All right.
Can you hear me? Because I'm on a phone, and sometimes it doesn't get a very good signal.
I would hope you're on the phone. Otherwise, this would be a voice in my head. But James, yes. No worries.
That's pretty good. I wanted to talk about the preseason. And just give my point of how I look at what's going on now. I think Nick Foles has changed the way they're going to view the backup quarterback. If you think about it, quarterbacks are pretty limited as it is. So your first string quarterback goes down, you're done. But Nick Foles has shown that there is possible for you to move forward, provided you have a quarterback that is stable, relatively speaking. So the preseason being designated for the second quarterback would give him that experience he needs to, and you will see if, he's going to be able to handle it if the quarterback after it goes down. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I think the backup quarterback position is a spot that the Eagles have valued for a long time. I mean, in all honesty, the defense came out and balled. A.J. Feely, went all the way back then. We're going, 15 years ago now. A.J. Feely, yeah. You guys came out and still won. Trey, you guys still were able to win. Coy Detmer, you guys were still able to win. More recently, you had Foles and Sanchez. You were still in it at the end when Foles was out of the lineup. Yeah, you had Foles and Wentz, obviously, you won a Super Bowl. McNabb and Vic and Cobb. The backup quarterback spot is something that the Eagles have valued for a long time.
Yeah, and I think that the rest of the league is, and like I said, with Nick Foles winning a Super Bowl, for crying out loud, I think that, not playing your starter, who is a starter, he's going to be a starter whether he plays the preseason or not, but getting your backup in there, I think that really helps solidify that whole, first and second position there, just in case something does go wrong with your starter.
Absolutely, James. Thanks for the call. And, hey, great call, by the way. Crystal clear line.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome, buddy. Appreciate it. All right, don't forget about tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow, Friday, Tool of the Week. We'll name our Hollis True Value Garden Center Tool of the Week. All plants, trees, and shrubs. Now buy one, get one free at Hollis. And we'll also give you our big, sexy report brought to you by Delilah's Gentleman's Club and Steakhouse. Always on top.
Hold on.
Well,
you know who won our big, sexy last week? You weren't here.
Oh, no, I think I won.
We gave it to him on the call.
Yeah, I was on the phone.
Oh, we did give it to you on the call. That's right. I forgot. My fault.
Yeah, Bob, first time long time.
Because you did that sex thing.
Thanks for having me on.
Congrats on the sex.
Yeah. Thanks for calling in.
Because I know how to check the boxes, my friend.
Yes, you do.
Hibbity-dibbity. All right.
Literally.
You're welcome. Sam, hey, how are you? What's the Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation? Thank you.
This morning we asked, the Phillies bats came alive last night because Cole Hamels was bad or because Charlie Manuel was awesome. We had just under 1,400 votes today. 51% say because Charlie is so awesome.
See that? Vast majority. That's all you need to know. Sam, what's your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway of the day is Charlie was by far the best PR move that the Phillies have done in years.
You said PR move.
Yeah.
I said it's the best move.
Okay. We could do that too. Yeah. I mean, PR. It all goes
I'm glad we could have this argument, Sam. I feel like we both emerged as better people.
I didn't really stick up for my side, though.
Jamie, takeaway of the day.
My takeaway of the day is Josh Schwett better show me something tonight.
Show me something. There you go. Just
plain and short.
Bob Cooney, takeaway of the day.
Tuffo.net. Check it out. More items going to be available later on today.
The things I miss.
Uh-huh.
Trey Thomas, takeaway of the day.
Charlie. Charlie, 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 yeah!
Jamie, give me a little bit more volume on our thinking music tonight, please. To any expecting fathers out there, my takeaway of the day, other than our exclusive audio of Charlie Manuel saying how he merges analytics and the old school thought, to any expecting father, here's what I have to tell you. Forget about the people that tell you it's going to be hard. You should know that already. Forget about the people that are going to tell you your life's going to change in a very smug way. No. Forget all that for a second. Here's what you do. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. You will never have more joy and more experience, more euphoria in your life than when you do when you become a father. Enjoy the rest of your day, everybody. Stay tuned for Gargano and Martinez Middays here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.